بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Sheikh in Tariqat has to be a mujtahid as well. We say mujtahid, he needs to examine every case independently, and after investigations he has to work out a program. And in each case he will see the person, he will weigh the situation, and then he will work out a program. Generally there were different approaches adopted by the Chishtiya, and there were different approaches adopted by the Naqshbandiya. Like in medication, you will find that the Hakims use a different approach and doctors will use different approaches. The approach that is adopted generally by the past Hakims, they will say that this person is run down on account of some illness. Hence, we'll have to do two things. One is, we'll have to diagnose the illness and remove the illness. As we pull out the illness, then the strength and the quwwat will just refill. It will replace the weakness. So the thing that is stopping good health, the thing that is obstructing strength, energy, etc., is the illness. The illness has consumed him. When the illness has consumed him, whatever he is eating is being wasted because of that illness. The illness is not giving him the chance for that vitamin or for that energy to be produced. So hence we pulled out that illness. When we pulled it out, now whatever he is eating is turning into energy and he is enjoying good health. So this was the plan and the program of the Hakims of the past. Then you look at the doctor, and the doctor looks at it differently. He looks at it in this way: provide the patient with energy, and when he's got that energy will push out the weakness. When that energy will push out that weakness, now he will regain his strength. So they look at it from one perspective, and they look it from a different perspective. So both are mujtahids. They are experts in their field. Be it the Hakim or be it the doctor, both are specialized and they are experts in their field. If you're an expert, then you will use your discretion. Alright, this is a patient, I can understand his health. This is his condition, the sugar levels, the pressure levels, he's a cardiac patient, then he will see the patient and thereafter he will see what is to be prescribed for him, how must he write the prescription for him. So the same happens in tariqat as well. You see the individual, and after seeing the individual, then you work out a program and a plan for him. So the Naqshbandiya, they adopt a different approach. The approach that they adopt is provide the energy. And as you provide the energy, then the illness will flush out itself. So hence you will see the older people of the Naqshbandiya order, as soon as a person comes into the Khanqa, they will straight away start him off with zikrs. Some zikr, some program they will start him off, whether it is zikr done softly or zikr done loudly, but some type of program they will set him up with. Whether it is meditation, whether it is zikr, whether it is sirri, whether it is jahri. And the older Chishtiya, what they would do is they would first remove the illness. Like how the old Hakim used to do, They will first work on the illness and they will wash that out. Like you hear of that incident of Sheikh Saeed, Abu Saeed, Gangohi. The Sheikh did not just usher him into zikr straight away. Rather, he asked him to flush himself out, put him into different programs. And in their understanding, in the Chashtiya order, in their understanding, the greatest obstruction is pride. When that is the greatest obstruction on the way of progress, so they will use some techniques to remove this pride from the way. And they won't spell it to you, okay, this is your problem and this is what I'm trying to get in you. Because if they spell it out to you that this is your problem, then mentally you are preparing yourself that the Sheikh is going to put me into a trial. When he's going to put me into a trial, then this is how I need to respond. Now, off the cuff, you know, off guard, the Sheikh has already tried him out. Off guard. Unawares. He's caught him unawares. And this is your problem. And he's caught him unawares. So they will try to bring about this type of tawazu in him. Humility in him. Wiping out that pride and wiping out that arrogance in him. The individual himself, he feels that I don't have it. But obviously, he being a patient, Ra'yul Alili Alilun. It is just the suggestion of the patient. And the patient himself, he is weak. So when he is weak, then how can his diagnosis be right? So hence, as he starts off the first leg of the journey, from the very first leg of the journey, we'll try and inculcate this aspect of fana. And the deeper this fana goes into him, then the deeper the foundation is coming in. See, he's getting piling. You know, you are putting up a multi-story building you're putting up. So you need to get it piled up very well. And you'll get that piling done very well, that foundation very well, as you do the piling. And if you didn't do the piling, then, and you're placing the foundation, can it take up that big story, big building? Can't take it up. So in the piling, they will push him down. They'll push him down. They'll make him feel like he's nothing. Okay. So then they will look at the individual. Okay, this individual, does he have the capacity? One is a normal day-to-day customer that is coming in. So I will provide him and he will carry on. That's a day-to-day customer. So he is treated differently because he just wants the basics and he's carrying on. And the other person wants a higher level of love, wants a higher level of affinity and bonding with Allah Ta'ala. So when he wants that higher level of bonding and affinity with Allah Ta'ala, then he'll be treated differently. The one that is coming for a day-to-day need, alright, came for a few days, spent some time and you're gone. So I treat you differently. And the one that came that I want very strong level of affinity and bonding. And more than his actions, more than his words, his actions, his behavior is showing that he is really, really committed. So when he's really committed, then the whole programming will be different. It worked out, and it will be worked out totally different. See, under normal circumstances, a man can keep wealth, right? Will you say that the person that's got wealth, he is fulfilling all the rights, will you say he's doing haram? You won't say he's doing haram. He's got wealth, he's taking good care of his wife, his children, poor neighbors, etc. He's doing all that. So you will not say that what he's doing is haram. Right. Now you get a situation of the Ashab-e-Suffa, you know that raised platform in Medina Munawwara, Masjid An-Nabawi ala sahibiha wa alayhi salatu wa salam. So there is a class of the Sahaba Ikram that have dedicated themselves for the learning of Deen. And to be in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have dedicated themselves fully. When they have dedicated themselves fully, now they're going to be seen too differently because they have dedicated themselves. There is the other group of Sahaba Ikram that are doing their business and they are coming. And this is a class that have dedicated themselves. They have come here. They have got no other business. Their business is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Their business is to learn from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Their business is to dedicate themselves for the sake of Islam. So they have given themselves up totally. Now what would happen is, Ansari Sahabi who's got an orchard, date orchard, so he will see, alright, I've got some dates. So he'll bring a couple of bunches and he will hang it up in one of those pillars in Medina. And these people will help themselves. According to the need, they will break that khajur, the date, and they will eat. Someone will bring some food, whatever it is, and the requirements, the needs will be seen to in that way. So they have got no source of income. They have got no business. They have dedicated themselves for the cause of Islam. At the threshold of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and night and day, it is just Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam they are focusing upon, and just his teachings, nothing else. There was no other concern on that. Kaam banta hai, kaam ke tarike se. You want something to happen, then there is a procedure. You work with that procedure, then you will come through. Allah Ta'ala has created systems, but Allah Ta'ala is not subject to the system. He can do without the system. He can do directly. Can anybody force Allah Ta'ala that he must do according to the system? Na'uzubillah. Nobody can do that. But under normal circumstances, you want children, then you will follow a certain procedure. You won't go against the procedure. Can't go and grab the corner in the masjid, make tasbih, and expect the children to run rain from the sky. It won't happen. You will have to follow the procedure. So that is the system of Allah Ta'ala. Join the line, and you will get serviced as well. You will get served. Your turn will come, and you will get served. But your work is to join the line. Then it is the choice of Allah Ta'ala who He sees to and how He sees to. Who He gives preference to, and why He gives preference to, and who He gives preference to, that is His choice. That He is not answerable. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. Allah Ta'ala is not answerable. Take a situation of a person coming for employment, right? As a garden boy, as a sweeper, he comes in to take employment, right? So, his fortune is that he must remain committed to his work. He mustn't ask, alright, in this whole operation, why is this person given this position? He is like the head of the department. And he is the CEO of the company. And this person here, he is the managing director of the company, right? So this person here that is doing the sweeping job, he has got no business to ask the CEO that why am I not the CEO and why is he the managing director and why is this person is given some type of a treatment I haven't been given. He can't. He's not, that's not his right. Not his place. Because the CEO feels to himself, okay, my authority is unquestionable. He mustn't question my authority. Whereas when you examine the whole thing, then your honor and your respect and your position is not such that you are not questionable. You can be questioned. You can be answerable, right? But because of his wealth, because of his influence, because of his position, he feels that nobody has come and questioned my authority. Now, you, an ordinary person, depending on the gifts and the favors of Allah Ta'ala, but you have elevated yourself to that position that you feel that your authority is unquestionable, then how can you question the authority of Allah Ta'ala? وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He creates as he pleases, and he prefers the ones that he pleases. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. You have got no right to make a choice, make a decision. You don't have a right. Now to understand this, just an illustration for this world to operate, right? You need a balance in everything, right? Don't you need a balance? You need a balance in everything, then this world operates. Even the air that we're breathing, that needs to be balanced. The light that we're getting from the sun, that needs to be balanced as well. The sun has to be at a certain point, at a certain position. that has to be balanced as well, right? Then the life that is on the earth, that has to be balanced as well. If there's an imbalance, right, can't it create a confusion, a problem for people? Imagine there's an overproduction of cattle now. Wherever you look, it's just cattle, 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 only cattle. One cow, at the time it gives birth, 51 times it's giving birth, right? And just breeding, like wild. Will it be easy to manage? Won't be easy to manage. Right? So, everything has to have a balance for this whole ecosystem to continue. And in the system, you'll have to have different creations for the whole earth to balance, to work out comfortably. You will need to have a certain amount of cockroaches, so much of ants, so much of rats, so much of cats, so much of dogs, so much of whatever. You'll need all that to be in place. Everything is in place and everything is in proportion, then the earth functions. So much of cattle, so much of vegetation, wheat, grains, etc., all must be in proportion. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. Remember that Allah Ta'ala has got limitless treasures. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. But remember, limitless treasures. There's no limited, unlimited. Whether it's wealth, whether it is position, whether it is honor, whether it is treasure, Allah Ta'ala has got unlimited treasures. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. In spite of it being unlimited, but when we send down in a proportion. Send so much. Now, that has to be done in that way so that the balance of the earth remains. If there is an imbalance in the animal kingdom, there will be a problem. There's an imbalance in humanity, there will be a problem. Imagine if Allah gave everybody the same level of intelligence, same talents, same skills, exactly, same inclinations. Can you extract a job from the next person? He's talented as well as you, right? He's got the same type of tendencies as you've got. The capacities that you've got, he's got the same. So, can you extract work from him? And when you can't extract work from the next person, can the work continue? So the work can't continue. So, one has got one talent, one tendency. The other has got another talent, he's got another tendency, so one can take out work from the other. So this is the administration of this world. The system of Jannat will be different. Jannat, nobody needs the other. So the system there in Jannat is different. And the system here is different. Each person needs the other person. Tell a man that 30 years in marriage, can you do without your wife for 2 months? Bye-bye, I can't manage that. But you know, you're old now, you've 30 years, 40 years in the marriage, you saw enough of your wife, you don't need all these things here. So, no, but you don't understand this. Won't you tell him? No, he doesn't understand it. So what do you want? You want something additional. And you understand that you are dependent. Right? As skilled as you are, as capable as you are, as strong as you are, but that companionship, you need that companionship for your life to be complete. Otherwise, now imagine there's a big palace there, right? Very big palace. It's just one person living there. Does that house look complete? Very big palace, state of the art, everything is got, but just one person living there. Bill Gates is living there, right? Right? Does he feel comfortable? Doesn't feel comfortable. And will you feel comfortable in that place? Even the outside doesn't feel comfortable. Now he's got a queen there, now it looks comfortable. But the king and the queen, if they don't have a prince, then also is not comfortable. It's not relaxed. You don't feel comfortable. You feel that there is something short in this house. So, in this whole system, Allah Pak is showing you dependence, that you are so dependent. So, don't at any time think that I am totally independent, I can do without anybody and everybody. The smallest of things, and Allah Ta'ala can make you dependent on the smallest of things. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi was in Calcutta, gone for his eye operation. So the big specialists that were there that time, 1970s, one took the courage to ask him, but you know, you're such a great buzurug, we're seeing people coming from so many places to come and visit you, honor you, take your duas and all that. And you got this thing here and you can't treat yourself. You got this cornea problem, right? And you need to go get it fixed up. And you can't do it yourself. In spite of you being such a big saintly person, you can't fix yourself up. So Musab laughed it out. And he said, see, this is the design and the plan of Allah Ta'ala. The design of Allah Ta'ala is dependence, interdependence. Now imagine you are such a big specialist, right? One of its kind. You are a specialist and you specialized in so many things, you specialized. But if a thorn has to prick you in your back, right? Somewhere in your back, are you not dependent on the ordinary person to come and pull the thing out? Now, in spite of your big high position, you still need that person to come and help you out. So what Allah Pak is showing you, expressing and impressing upon us, by don't consider yourself to be above. I am just one of the rank and file. Don't ever think that you are above. What I was getting at is that, see, when Allah Pak has created the system like this, then He has made a ratio and a proportion for each creation, so that this ecosystem can continue balanced, right? Now, He has planned it out, for example, that there must be so many snakes, so many pythons, so many rats, so many cats, right? So many dogs, so many cows, so many sheep, so many goats, right? Can you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala, you made me a man, why didn't you make me a dog? And can you reverse the whole thing? If the dog is created as a dog, can the dog ask why I was created as a dog, not as a man? Can it ask? It doesn't have the right to ask. Why doesn't have the right to ask? مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ You don't have the right to ask. And bring it onto your level of understanding. You planning and designing a house, right? You're planning one big house. So you plan your lounge, your guest room, your kitchen, your family room, right? That spot that you chose for your toilet, that thing questions your authority. What wrong I did, you know? What guna I made? All the filth comes onto me. You could have made your namaz room here. I'm such a pure person, park person, you know? When you need to make wuzu, and you don't have water, you need me to get that purification. And then you put all your filth onto myself. But you could have done it to the kitchen, you could have done it to the lounge. From all this pot, you choose me for all this filth. So what will you tell that? What will you tell that spot of lens? By my authority, don't you ever disregard my authority. I got the right to choose and select what I want to do, where I want to do. Won't you say, but when you examine this thing, who are you? You are nothing. When you examine yourself, who are you? You are nothing. But you still feel that that little authority that Allah Pak has blessed with, invested in you, is so much that nobody must even question your authority. But when you cross-examine yourself, your physical self, you're nothing. Right? Just put the man into the grave, right? And wait for 2 days. Nobody wants to see that physical. Nobody wants to see you. In just 2 days, 2 days that body disintegrates. The third day is too much. Even the own son doesn't want to come and see the father's body. The third day. So your physical self, this is worth. But to make up that physical self, what didn't you do? Just for the pleasure of the physical self, what did you do? You bought this and this pleasure, you flew here and you ran there. What about things you did just for the physical enjoyment? But then you see the worth of this physical self. This is worth. Now, you as an individual, you are worth nothing. So Allah Ta'ala, in His kingdom, in His system, you are worth nothing. But yet you still feel that I have got that authority, nobody must question my authority. So by the same token, Allah Pak has created you. When He's created you, right, He's made you, you don't have the right to question His authority. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ So the right thing for you is then just to submit yourself. Just, whatever He says, amanna wa saddaqna, amanna wa sallamna, Allah, we accept. Whatever you say, we accept. One person went to the marketplace and he bought one slave. So he asked the slave, bhai, tera naam kya hai? What's your name? He said, jo kuch aap farmaye, whatever you say. And what work will you do? Whatever you say. What will you eat? What you instruct me to eat. Where will you sleep? whichever place you give me. What type of clothing you will wear, whatever clothing you bless me with. So the master is saying to the slave, may Allah reward you over and over again. You really taught me what is the meaning of servitude and slavery. I didn't know exactly what's the meaning of slavery and servitude to Allah Ta'ala. But you, Allah Pak, sent you to teach me what's the meaning of slavery and servitude. Now the whole idea to be around here is to learn the same lesson of servitude and slavery. That's the whole idea. And this is the most priceless thing in the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala, to learn slavery and servitude. That's the most priceless thing. And because it's most priceless, it gets the greatest virtue and the greatest attention. You know, when any commodity is extinct, right, it's very rare, then it becomes expensive, isn't it? It's required. You want it. Why? Because it's extinct. It becomes very rare. In the kingdom, in the heavens, there's only honor and respect. Right? But if there's going to be servitude, there's going to be humility, crying, humility, and thinking nothing of yourself, that's going to be practiced in this world. There is only respect and honor. And humility, considering yourself to be nothing, worthless, helpless, useless, etc., right? Crying to Allah Ta'ala, in that state of uselessness, that's going to happen in this world. So the more that person is going to be displaying this through his actions, through his behavior, ways, etc., then he is going to be elevated. Because that is not available there upstairs. So what is not available, what is not there, that becomes priceless. That fetches a value. What is already there, it is valued, but it is not valued to that point. Allah speaks about the previous nations. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Allah's system is when He sends a Nabi for the guidance of a people, and the people are not listening, so He sends different conditions. Sometimes it's conditions of prosperity, everything is just blooming, everything is just going up. Investments, opportunities, enterprise, business, everything is just blooming. So sometimes Allah Pak sends that conditions, and sometimes it's just adversities, everything is just going down. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So sometimes it's فَتْحِ بَابٍ, everything is just opening up. And sometimes everything is just crashing down. But in this whole thing, what Allah Pak wants, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. When these type of conditions do come about, then why don't you humble yourself? Right? Rather than going anywhere else, then your idea, your duty was just to humble yourself. I made a mistake. I'm wrong. Some mistakes I do, I know about it. Some mistakes I do, I don't know about it. But Allah Ta'ala, I am wrong. So what Allah Pak wants is this level of humility. You humble yourself. But that humility is real humility. You know, sitting here, I can say, "Main toh bilkul naachiz hu." It's easy to say that. Naachiz hu, Mandarin hu, it's easy to say that. Right? I'm nothing. Isn't it easy to say that? But if in this crowd I say, "Naachiz, idhar aajao, mere paas baith jao," how will you feel? Say truly how you will feel. So you call yourself a Naachiz. In other words, you are non-entity. Naachiz means non-entity, right? Or non-entity, come here. Or you useless, you say that you are a useless thing. I tell you, you know, useless thing, come here. How do you feel? You know, see, I got the right to call myself useless, but you don't have the right to tell me this. Won't you say that? That would be the best response. You don't want to be called like that. Right? So you may say it verbally, but do you behave like that? So one is the say statement, and one is the behavior, two different things. Now when you look into the Chishtiya Silsila, this is the first thing that they come down. They come down very, very, very strongly on this. And humility, break yourself. Break yourself. Because this breaking yourself is the real foundation. It's the foundation. You breaking yourself. So, overall, the shaykh that is guiding you on this path, he needs to do two things into you. One is, in Arabic they will say wasal, and the other he will say fasal. Right? One is, he'll need to break away certain things from you. And number two, he'll need to join you up to certain things. Right? One is, he'll have to break away some things from you. Get those things away from you. Get it out of your system. Some things will have to be getting out of your system. And some things will have to be added to your system. Now this is the world. This is the plan. This is the system of the world. That whatever you do, there is a positive and there's a negative, right? You can't find a thing in the world that's only positive. Right? You eat a plate of food, right? Then a certain portion will be translated into energy, right? But a certain portion will be translated into dirt and filth and be flushed out. So you will have that filth and you will have that energy as well. Don't you see this? And overall, you don't have the right to question Allah Ta'ala, why am I not at this position? Now, when you don't have the right to ask Allah Ta'ala why I don't have the right to get to this position, then what is the logical thing to do? Like you say that sweeper now, you know, I gave the example of the sweeper doing a menial job. What is the right thing? What is the intelligent, logical thing for him to do? The right thing for him to do is, I must do two things. One is, I must be appreciative that I got this job. You know, this big company like this, I got a job here, I must be very, very thankful. Right? That's a logical thing for him to do. For him to win the favor of the boss, what he must do, two things. One is to show appreciation, appreciative, right? And the second thing for him to do is to see and ensure that he is diligently doing his work. Whatever work has been assigned to him, he's doing it. They told that sweeper, you know what, that pot plant, go and leave it outside. And the next day, he just swipe these things here. Then he mustn't ask, why are they asking me to do this thing, multiple jobs? He just listen to the instructions and carry on. So he's appreciative and he's diligently carrying out his duties. So the boss will observe him from above. Oh, right. This person here, he's so appreciative. Such a kind person. Such a good person to be working with. So let me promote him. Let me take him a few degrees above. So in this entire system, this is what we need to learn. One is not why it's like this and why it's not like this and why this person is like this. No. Don't ask those questions. It's pointless you asking these questions. Like I say, you know, that food is inside your body, that which has turned into waste and thrown out, then it can't ask, you know, why wasn't I turned into energy? Can it ask? Can't ask. It must just go with the system. You have been turned out into waste and you thrown out, just be happy with the system. And you've been churned out into energy, be happy with the system. Go well and you will remain well. But now you are obstruction, you are questioning. Why like this? Why like this? It's not your place to ask. Your job is to appreciate that you are around. And number two, am I fulfilling my duty? Am I fulfilling my task? They ask me to come for 8 hours, I'm coming for 8 hours. They ask me to do this, I'm doing this. They ask me to show appreciation, so I'm appreciative. Whatever has been assigned, I'm doing it. So, in this whole effort, this whole suluk, there is a thing like wasal and there is a thing like fasal. Wasal means to join and fasal is to detach. So both these things have to work hand in hand. Initially, the chishti adhisa used to work, they used to detach you. First, they work on a detachment plan. Get all the razila out of you, all the evil, all the bad traits out of you. That's the first. And they will earmark these two things. One is hubbu dunya, and one is hubbeja. One is the love for wealth, and one is love and crave for position, recognition. That thing doesn't come out. Love for recognition and position doesn't come out so well. Doesn't come out so easy. Don't you see, at the time of elections, right, they can kill each other just for that position. Don't you see it? For wealth, don't you see people can kill each other just for wealth? So these are the two main obstructions in the path, either recognition or either wealth. Because you feel that wealth, you know, you got that wealth, you got that might. You feel that you have got that recognition, people respect you, so you have got that clout, you got that influence. You don't want to lose your influence. Now they understand that these are the two obstructions on your way. And when these are the obstructions on your way, then they have to be detached. They have to be taken out of the system. Slowly but surely it has to be come out, it has to be washed out. After all, Mr. Iblis, what was his problem? Do you ever think what was his problem? He had ibadah to his credit, right? Yet, even to his credit as well, because to be able to mislead, you need to know halal and haram. If you don't know halal and haram, how can you mislead? You can't mislead. So he had ilm as well. Right? And he had the recognition of Allah Ta'ala as well. If he had was an alim, then he's an abid as well. And if he's an abid, then he's an arif as well. Even in suluk they say, ma'rifat, was an arif as well. And how do you make out that he was an arif? It's because precisely at the time that he was being thrown out of Jannat, so he says to Allah Ta'ala, anzirni ila yawm yubatun. Allah Ta'ala, just give me a chance to the day of Qiyamah. Right? Give me a chance to the day of Qiyamah. So that means you prove two things in this word, in this one line, you prove two things. One is he knew. And number two, he had also marifat. He had the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Who is Allah Ta'ala? He knew. How do you make it out? You make it out in this way. Okay. You know when a person is in a state of anger, right? He's in a state of anger. You committed theft, right? Big way you committed theft. Or for example, the boss's son and you killed him. You killed the boss's son. And at the time that you killed the boss's son, the boss chased you out. Get out. Right? Now, around the time that he's chasing you out, can you say, you know, boss, can you just allow me to park around for another 10 years here? Can you ask that question? Why can't you ask that question? Obvious, because man is overcome with anger. This type of a question will make him more angry. Won't it make him more angry? So shaitan knew that at the time of anger and displeasure, Allah Ta'ala is not overcome. Like we become overcome with anger, right? With emotions, don't we become overcome? We are overwhelmed, we are overcome with conditions. But Allah Ta'ala is not overwhelmed, he's not overcome with conditions. He is in control. Right? So because shaitan knew that he is in control of himself, he's not overwhelmed and overcome by any situation. Even in that condition, I can still speak to him. So he says, Allah Ta'ala, just pay me till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala answers his dua. So he's an abid, he's an alim, he's an arif. But what was short in him? You ask yourself, what was short in him? What was missing? What was the missing element that made him rejected? Same thing, humility. Call it humility, call it ishq, call it whatever. But the missing element in shaitan was this quality of ishq, or call it humility. Because had he had ishq and the love of Allah Ta'ala, then what would have happened? Allah Pak Trim makes us, I said, sure, Allah Pak 20 says I'll make it. You see, they ask you, jump, say, how high? You say, how much? How many times says that? 10 times, 20, I'll just do it. I won't ask anything. Because that love is burning within the heart. And if the love is just logical, you know, it's just a logical love, that it won't prompt you to do this. So his love was just logical. Allah Ta'ala, like he was trading with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak, I'll do this, you do this for me. You do this and I'll do this for you. Now that's a businessman love that. As long as you got the wealth, then I will respect you. And tomorrow, the wealth is gone, then will I show you respect? As long as you are a motor today, right, with 100, 200 million you got, so I'll show you respect. And tomorrow you are earning, say, 2,000, 3,000 a month, now I'll show you the respect. Will I go and receive you from the airport? Book you in the hotel? Will I do that now? You know, I think I'm a little bit busy now. I can see you some other time. Just come and see me some other time. Now I'm a little busy. But before, you sent a special car, brought him, put him up in the hotel, gave him a chauffeur and a car, everything, you did that. So these are the two main areas that need to be fixed up, right? That's the detachment plan, right? You detach this, get this out of the system. Because every other evil, every other vice is coming from this, either recognition, love for recognition, and love for wealth. Every problem is coming from that. See, like, you say shaitan had pride, right? And that pride brought that malice in him. He began to dislike Adam alayhi salam because of the pride. This man here has been favored over me. أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. So the malice also was a product of the pride. Then he became jealous and envious of Adam alayhi salam, And why was he favored? So you see, it's a product of what? It's a product of pride. Pride, again, recognition. The love for recognition. So all this evil is coming out from the same thing, pride. Whether it is jealousy, whether it is malice, right? Even ghibat, for that matter, you are backbiting someone. You are backbiting him because of pride. And how you prove that is like, for example, talk about Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi. Will you backbite him? No. Why you hold him in esteem and respect? But a contemporary, won't you backbite him? Because he is one of those people now. I can talk ill about him. But Hazrat Abdul Qadir, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, will you backbite him? So that's also coming out again from the same thing, the same evil of pride. See? So this pride has to be dashed out, has to be smashed out. So at the very first instance, they will smash it out. They will try and break it out. Now, as they break it out, right? And they see that you have broken quite well. Then they will say, all right, now detachment is finished now. Now we can attach you. Attach you to what? To Allah Ta'ala. So it's a program now. It's fasal on one side and wasal on the other side. Breaking away, detachment and attachment. Detachment to the extent that you will detach, and then we will attach you to Allah Ta'ala. Because you detached yourself, you detached everything else, now we can join you up. But you didn't detach from Allah Ta'ala, from all the wrong, from the vice, and you want an attachment to Allah Ta'ala. How can it happen? That small detachment, the small evil, you may consider it as insignificant. But it is like, you know, like you got a whole bucket of pure, full cream milk you got, right? And someone put just one teaspoon of suraj. Are you prepared to drink that? No. You want it to be clean. No, but I want a detached thing. It must be detached from all evil, pollution, dirt. I want it out. For yourself, you want it so clean. And before Allah, they say, no, it's all right. A little bit of filth, contamination, pollution is all right. Yeah. How can it ever work? For yourself, it doesn't work. You need to clean. You need to cleanse yourself. And wallah, you know, these evils of pride, jealousy, hatred, etc., malice, etc., is much worse than the filth of sewage. You know, when the sewage, we talk about so filthy, dirty, etc. But this is even worse than that. Because the hadith says that if you got an iota of this, then you can't get into Jannah. Little iota. Misqala dharratin min kibirin. This iota of pride, you can't get there. You see that what it does, how it damages you. Say, I did so much of mujahada, so much of sacrifice, I did this. But with all that, you got this little bit of pride. Now, this pride has to be smashed out. And it has to be smashed out, right, by someone that knows about pride. If it is you're guessing and you are speculating, you don't know whether you got it, whether you don't have it. You are guessing around, you are speculating. It is the fazl of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala just covers you. But what are you doing? You're just guessing around. So now you need to go through a procedure to remove it out. Like you got some blockages in the arteries, right? You can't just say, no, I'm going for cupping and this will come out. Can't say that. You have to go for some procedure. Someone that knows about this. You understand that life is a very important thing. And I can't risk my life. And I need to go for a full treatment. Can you just go to someone at the back door and get the treatment done? You can't do it. You know that you have to go for a procedure. So the same here, you need to go for a procedure to get this thing out. And because this is a very stubborn thing, right? It's not going to come out overnight. Sometimes it takes 1 year, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 10 years, just to get this thing out. Love for recognition. You've been entertaining it. You've been nurturing it for all the years, right? Now when you've been nurturing it, been so near to your heart, it's going to come out just like that. For a small heart procedure, you need to dedicate yourself at least for 2-3 months, right? And there too, you won't be on your feet. After 1 year, you'll come back around, won't you? Right? And if it is even a worse problem, then you have to take care for the rest of your life. Right? Had a heart problem, right? Heart failed or something, right? So, when it failed or something, now the heart took an impact. It was an injury to the heart. For the thing to come around again, it takes quite a bit of time, 5 years, 10 years, slowly it will come up again. Because it's getting fixed up from within. Right. So by the same token, the soul needs to get fixed up. Why, you've been nurturing this, you've been rearing this, you've been entertaining this pride. So it became part and parcel of your makeup. When it became part and parcel of your makeup, you need to get it out. When you need to get it out, it's going to take a time. Now you're waiting for the thing to come out overnight. How does it happen? Hazrat Masihullah Sahib Rahmat explained one incident. Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali, this the silsila of Chishtiya, then they come down again to Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali, Fariduddin Ganja Shakar, then Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali. This is the silsila, right? So these are the very top ranking. These people, they are not so concerned about themselves. But if they have guests and all, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, they have guests, then they are very considerate. He's got a guest coming at a very awkward time. Very, very awkward time, the guest comes in. And because of his consideration and respect for the guest, he's worried, I don't have anything to offer this guest. He's worried, concerned. Me, I can pull through the starvation. It's alright, it's not a problem. I don't have food for the day, 2 days. I don't have it, it's alright. But my guest, I can't see him going like this. And now he's worried. Now you just compare this Buzrugara Deen against ourselves. Right? If your guest comes in and he doesn't have food, it's not a train smash, right? But if you don't have food, it's not a train smash, it's a rocket smash. Isn't it? If you don't have food, it's a rocket smash. The guest, alright, hey, I'm not the only person around, he must go and sort himself out. This is how we'll reason. Now these Buzrugara Deen, they think totally different. Now, we are trying our best to get ourselves on that track, to think like them. Now, he's worried. He's consumed by anxiety. My guest has come, I've got nothing to offer him. What do I do? He's worried, going from one side to the other. And meanwhile, the neighbor is a bhatiara, is a cook, chef. And he notices the anxiety on the face of that buzurg. He made out the problem straight away. He saw it. He's a cook, so that's what he specializes in. So from the symptoms he can make out what's going on, right? Don't you make out things from the symptoms, don't you make out things? So you make out there's some problem here. See this tasawuf, this tariqah, this finer aspects of the nafs has to be combed down, has to be broken down. There was one Mulana Balgirami, I'll come back to this incident here, Mulana Balgirami Rahmatullahi. And one student comes to study by him. So he's an old student, 3-4 years, he's parking there by the ustad. The one day he sees some expressions of hunger on the ustad's face. Because really he didn't have any food. 1 day, 2 days, no food. So he excused himself, said, ustad, I'll come back after 1 hour, I got some work. He brought a whole tray of food to present it to his ustad, who hadn't eaten for 2 days. So Ustad said, I know I'm in a point of starvation and I need this food. But this food is not halal for me. Because the moment you excuse yourself to go, then the thought came in my heart that you're going to get some food for me. So that was israf. I was longing for your gift. Israf, I was longing. One is to ask, and to ask verbally. And one is to ask, but to ask not verbally, from the mind, hey, if only this person could get some food for me, or get something for me, you know. So that is now another type of su'al. One is su'al directly you asking. And one is you asking, but you're not asking with the tongue, asking with the mind, if this person can only give me something. Now there are unprofessional ways of asking, and there are professional ways of asking. Unprofessional way is a couple of bobs, man, you know. Hungry, unprofessional. And there's a professional way to ask as well. So I saw you now. I see you with the whole bag of food, whatever it is, biryani, anything, whatever. So deliberately I come your way. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Ismail? So now, when Ismail may be a man of nobility, when he sees me asking that type of question, so he says, hey, just take one plate as well, man. Or if I see, you know, he's got a very beautiful pen, you know, Parker, state of the art pen. Hey, mashallah, very beautiful pen. Where did you buy the pen from? Right. Now, how innocent it seems like. I seem to be very innocent in my question. What I say, it's a very beautiful pen. Where do you buy it from? So when the man is a man of nobility, saying, no, don't worry, I got another pen, you can have this. And then Kali will say, no, I didn't mean that. When you say that? So the tasawwuf aims at all these things here. This inner chore, this chore is very, very fine, very discreet. Cleanse it up. Because you're working with the one that is most discreet, Allah Ta'ala you're working with. He knows the thing that is most subtle, absolutely subtle, he knows about it. So that Ustad says, no, boy, that food is not permissible for me, take it away. Now the student is also very intelligent, very capable. So, ya Ustad, you tell me to take it back. So he takes a tray, goes. In an hour he comes back with the food. Ustad, now you've got no excuse not to accept this. Because you didn't have this idea and this thought that this food is ever going to return back. But you took it away. When I took it away, you never have the idea that this food is ever going to return. Now when the thought was completely deleted from your mind and I brought this food, now you've got no excuse to accept this. Now you must accept it. Ustad said, yes, what you're saying is right. Because that thought was completely obliterated, was wiped off from my mind. I didn't have that desire at all. I didn't have that expectation at all that this is going to come. Now that I lost that expectation, now for me to accept it is permissible. Now, these are the things that bring about the darkness of the heart. It brings about that obstruction in the heart. Now, you need a very clear line. And the line is with Allah Ta'ala. So the slightest thing that is on the line has to be cleaned out. So we're talking about this Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali and this chef. So the chef makes it out from the impression on that sheikh that something is going on here. So he prepares the food and all that and he presents it. So the sheikh accepts it and he gives it to his guest. He's very happy, mashallah. That guest has come and my guest is comfortable, he's relaxed. Not on account of his comfort, but the comfort of his guest, that he is comfortable. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that we were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I milked that animal and I presented that milk to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَدِيتُ. He drank and I became happy. And if you were thirsty and the next person, your friend or whoever was drinking, you look at how much left. How much left? Sab nimat liya, ya mere liye bhi kuch chhoda hai. Won't that be in our mind? And Abu Bakr, like as though he was consumed and drowned in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is drinking and Abu Bakr is getting satisfaction. Like how a mother is, that is impatient of the child. The child was sick and he recovered. And he's drinking and he's eating. What happens? He drinks and bringing pleasure to the mother. The mother saw that this was the condition of the child, it deteriorated. Now he's coming up and he's eating well, he's drinking very well. So who's eating and drinking? The child is eating and drinking, but the mother is getting the happiness. So Abu Bakr radiallahu's happiness was like that. So nonetheless, Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki rahmatullah is very excited about this whole thing. And he sees the chef. He says, "Mang jo kuch mangna ho." You know, you brought such happiness, you saved this occasion, this guest of mine, and he would have gone hungry like this, and I won't be able to manage this. So, I'm so delighted, so excited about this, that I feel that this is a moment that Allah Ta'ala will accept my du'as. So, mang jo kuch mang now, what you want, you ask of me. We also understand sometimes it's a moment of acceptance. Don't you feel that sometimes it's like 27th night of Ramadan, Shab-e Qadr, you feel that now, du'as are going now. Rikkat tari ho jati, you begin to cry, and you begin to feel the softness of the heart, everything is just humbling down, there's a deep feeling of tranquility and peace within you. So you know now, something is working out. Don't you feel that something is working out? So that Buzhruk felt now something is going to work out. I feel that deep feeling of tranquility and peace within me, and now some du'a is just going to strike. On account of this kindness of this person here. So that Buzhruk asked him, Ji, ask, whatever you need to ask, ask for. You see in this path again, it's another lesson that I'm teaching you. together with showing respect, whether it's ulama-i kiram, buzrugan-e deen, whoever, together with showing respect, then there's a strife and there's a struggle again. So he showed respect and he struggled as well. Now he's got this buzrug and he's showing the respect, but he's also striving himself. It's not just one side, just love and no striving. That is incomplete, it's half a job. You are striving and you are taking his du'as and showing muhabbat. So muhabbat would strive. Now one complements the other and becomes a complete job. But if it's just muhabbat, it's not right. If it's just a struggle, it's not right. So the muhabbat has to be complemented with a struggle. Now it's a complete thing. So he showed the muhabbat and he showed the strive as well. So the buzurg feel now, this is the right time. See, many a times, we are not careful of how we conduct ourselves, what we are saying. And more especially when it is a person that is known as a dini elder. Right? Whatever the service, whatever the nature of service he has rendered, we need to respect him. Sometimes it may be that he has done much more than what we have done, though he doesn't seem to be so pious, but he's done a lot of service for deen. So because of the service, his seniority and his past, we respect him. Maybe he stumbled here and there, he made some mistakes, but that doesn't give us the license to disrespect the person. And the slightest is disrespect, sometimes it kicks us out. We get kicked out. We're thinking, hey, where, how I got kicked out? See, the respect, the love, and the struggle, both going hand in glove. It mustn't be just respect and love, and it mustn't be just a struggle. Both must go together. Shaitan showed that service, that struggle, but he showed no love. He didn't show the respect. And he got thrown out. So anyway, the sheikh asked him, "Mang jo kuch mangna ho." So he says, "Hey, this is the time now. I need to take advantage over the situation." This is what the buzurg is saying here. I need to take advantage. I need to exploit this whole situation. So he says, "Bas tere tarah se mujhe bana do. Mujhe tere jaise bana do. You make me like yourself." The buzurg understood okay, that Bakhtiyar Kaki took him 50 years to become Bakhtiyar Kaki. Now this one wants the whole thing to be passed on him overnight. He wants it. How can he manage it? So that buzurg said, "Bhai, ask for something else, bhai." He said, "No, I want this. You gave me your zaban, you gave me your tongue, I want this. Tere jaise bana do. Make me like yourself." So anyway, he took him to the room and kept on making dua, tawajju, etc., whatever. Begging Allah Ta'ala, begging. And after about 4 or 5 hours or so, opened the room and both are walking out. Both are seeming to be identical in their features, ways, expressions, both are identical. The only difference was, this Bhatiyara, this cook, this chef, he had a wobble in his walk. Can't walk straight. Because that thing was too heavy. This man took 50 years to get whatever. And now he wanted it in one sitting, one go he wanted it. Now he's getting that thing, but it's too much for him. So as though he's got a 1 ton load over his head. Can you imagine how he'll struggle? Anyway, he took a few steps and he collapsed and he died. But what a great fortune. The fortunate thing is this, that he lived his life as a Bhatiyara, as a chef. And he died as Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullah alayhi. You see, what I'm saying to you is that this things are moved on, but with time. To get the thing flushed out and cleaned out, can't happen overnight. It will come, you have to be diligent, you have to be committed, because it's an association of love with the most loving. So he's going to try you out. You're loving and your muhabbat is just for the convenience for a day or 2 days, or you have sold yourself to me. Really, what is it for? Is it that you have sold yourself outright, or is it just for convenience now and then, just to get some feelings? Love of talking.